Thanks, Nathan. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. In 2011, voters in Baltimore City elected a mayor and members of the city council for what ended up being a 5-year term instead of the regular 4-year term. This was because 2011 was the last time the city held a separate election for those offices. The cycle was adjusted so that mayoral and city council elections now coincide with the presidential election. It's hoped that this will increase voter turnout, and it will definitely save money. The Department of Legislative Services estimates that the city will save about $3.7 million, and the state will save about $270,000 by holding votes for local and national offices at the same time. Well, no one could have predicted back then in 2011 that the elections for mayor and city council would be as wide open as they are. 13 Democrats are on the ballot for mayor, a list that does not include incumbent mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. And on the city council, nearly half of the seats are open. 6 of the 14 incumbent council members are not running. However, there are plenty of people who are running, more than 100 of them. Luke Broadwater covers City Hall for the Baltimore Sun. P. Kenneth Burns is WIPR's Metro reporter. They join me this morning to help us make some sense of all of this. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk. There's 14 city council districts. 6 of them have, as we say, open elections, so the incumbent's not on the ballot. Let's talk about some of the races that people widely assume or expect that the incumbents will win. Luke, Brandon Scott in the 2nd district has a couple of opponents, Tony Christian and Melissa Bagley, but it sounds like his seat is fairly safe, you think?
Yeah, he's leading in fundraising and door knocking, and he is well regarded in the community. I called around to some of the community association presidents there to when I wrote about that race, and all of them spoke rather glowingly of Brandon. Upsets do happen, but that seems to be a race where he is the heavy favorite.
Yeah, for a while it was rumored that Mr. Scott was going to throw his hat in the ring for mayor, and
right.
He's one of the few people who hasn't, so that's kind of interesting. Sharon Green Middleton over in the 6th district also seems like a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, she's safe. She has 2 candidates running against her. I haven't seen much action from them driving around the district, so... she's likely to return in December.
How about District 10, Ed Reisinger? He's got 4 opponents, Curtis Johnson, Wanda Grimes, Charlie Metz, Erica White in the Democratic primary. What do you think?
Another safe one. He's council vice president, and a lot of people in South Baltimore still like him.
Mm-hmm. And Luke, Mary Pat Clark, been in city government for more than 30 years. She does have a couple of opponents in the race, Tia Hamilton and Terrell Williams, but she's a former city council president. It looks like this seat is pretty safe.
Yeah, Mary Pat is an institution in Baltimore, in North Baltimore. Many remember when she always beat Kurt Schmoke for mayor. Literally came within like a few points of beating Kurt Schmoke for mayor. She had a fundraiser recently, and like half of the registered voters in the district showed up to it. So she is a heavy favorite.
Yeah, so those 4, you know, maybe have some pretty heavy favorites. But the other ones, guys, I mean, these things are as wide open as they have ever been. Kenny, you did a story this morning that's been airing the last few hours about Bill Henry's district in District 4. How do you read that race?
Bill Henry's in the fight for his legislative life. If you recall, a couple of years ago, he ran for state senate against Joan Carter Conway, wound up losing to Joan Carter Conway in the primary. And now people feel that he is not necessarily focused on this North Baltimore district, that he has other interests. And now he has 3 challengers, one of them, Brian Hammack, well-financed, a lot of associates with former Governor Martin O'Malley, as well as Governor O'Malley's OC Can You See PAC. A lot of the people who support Jones seem to be getting behind Brian Hammack. You also have Rodney Burris, he's in last place in the money race, as I like to call it, the fundraising, but he's been active door knocking campaigning. And Francesco Legalupi, who is also running in that race, a little bit more than Rodney, but he hasn't crossed the $10,000 threshold yet. But right now, Bill Henry, it's his race to lose at this point.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Luke? I mean, when you've got figures like Joan Carter Conway or Maggie McIntosh, who has supported Mr. Hammack, Kurt Anderson, these are people, you know, who have a statewide profile. Do they have much impact and effect on these in these neighborhoods and in these city council districts?
I think endorsements are having a lessening effect in elections generally. I do know that when Bill Henry ran against Joan Carter Conway 2 years ago, she beat him pretty easily. So she does have a lot of support. Whether that support translates to someone you endorse, I'm not sure always works out. You do have a very interesting dynamic there, as Kenny mentioned, where you have a very highly financed challenger in Brian Hammack, who has raised well over $100,000, which is a very large amount for a council race. And you have a several-term incumbent in Bill Henry, and there's lots of powers of incumbency. And Henry's, you know, an affable guy who many people see as smart and likable. So he has advantages, too. And then these two challengers as well. So this is a very competitive race. And I wouldn't place a bet on it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about a couple of the seats that are going to open up because the two current council members are running for mayor. That's the 7th District and the 12th District with Nick Mosby and Carl Stokes giving up their seats to run for mayor. In the 7th, a whole slew of people running for Councilman Mosby's seat. Luke, how do you see that race?
Yeah, the 7th, you're right. There's a lot of people in the 7th district. Right,
I count
now,
11 candidates on the Democratic side, and that's just for city council in District 7.
Great, right. Marshall Bell has the most fundraising right now. He's the younger brother of former city council president Lawrence Bell, the son of a very well-known dentist in the area. Actually, interestingly enough, in Smaltimore, his dad was Freddie Gray's dentist. He works in the city council offices now, and many consider him to be one of the favorites. Sean Tarrant, the state delegate who lost his seat in a hotly contested battle with Frank Conway Jr., is now running for the council. So he's someone who's won office before. He could certainly win again. Leon Pinkett, who's worked for the BDC, works in the mayor's office. It has a lot of institutional support, and is seen by a strong candidate as a strong candidate by many. Another is the preacher Wesley West, who many people know from his protesting activities during the Freddie Gray protests. So you have a lot of interesting, well-financed, accomplished people running there for that West Baltimore seat. And I don't know how it's going to break down on Election Day.
Yeah, sure. And of course, with that many candidates, it simply doesn't take that many votes to win. I mean, there's no runoff, right? I mean, the person with the most votes
it's
at the end
plurality.
Of the day.
Yep.
But, you know, if it's just a few thousand people voting in that district, and that's been the case in districts like this in elections past, just literally a few hundred votes could win the election. I mean, if you divide it up that much, it's really interesting. On 881, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Luke Broadwater and Kenny Burns join me in the studio. We're talking about the hotly contested city council races that will be on the April 26th primary ballot. So, Kenny, let's talk about Carl Stokes and his district. He's the current incumbent in District 12. There are 7 folks running against or running for that seat. How do you see that? One of them actually has the name Stokes, Robert R. Stokes, but I guess that's no relation. Right?
There is no relation. And this is another one of those races that you can't really tell who's going to win the seat. You have Robert Stokes Sr., no relation to the current councilman, who actually works in that office. You have Gordon Stick, Rashad Stanton, Jason Perrone, Gary Crum, and Kelly Cross. And they all have interesting ideas. They all generally agree with each other about how to make that district better. But once again, and I went to a forum not too long ago, and it seems that not one candidate stood out as the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, Eartha Harris is another candidate in that very crowded list.
Interestingly enough, in that race, Robert Stokes has been getting most of the endorsements from the unions and so forth, has filed an affidavit saying he's not going to raise more than $1,000.
Right.
So, you know, here is someone who's picking up endorsements but isn't fundraising, and will that be successful? We'll have to wait and see.
Talking about fundraising, let's take a look at the first district. That's the district that includes Little Italy, Fells Point, and Canton. James Kraft, Jim Kraft, is the current incumbent. He's giving up his seat to run for circuit court judge. Zeke Cohen, Scott Goldman, Mark Edelson, Ed Marcinko, Mark Parker, and Sean Flanagan, the Democrats on the ballot for that race. And a lot of them have raised a whole ton of money. I mean, this is a very expensive district and an interesting one because this actually could be a district that Republicans prevail in November. So how do you read that?
Very much so. I actually think this is probably the most fascinating of the races. the amount of money that is poured into this race rivals a citywide race. You have three candidates. candidates, as you mentioned, who have raised well in excess of $100,000 on the Democratic side. And that is that's Cohen, Goldman, and Edelson. And so the people I talk to down there say it's not uncommon for you to get multiple candidates knocking on your door on the same Saturday for this one council race. And then whoever emerges from this hotly contested Democratic primary will face a Republican. And this is a district that was won by Larry Hogan 2 years ago. So many people believe that a Republican, even if they have less money now, can be a threat in the general election. The state party has told me they plan to throw a lot of resources behind that person because they're not going to have a lot of contested races in the November election for the Republicans. So you will see a lot of support.
So they'll be able to concentrate their resources. Yeah, Liz Copeland, Matt McDaniel, and Jennifer Dudley running in the Republican primary. Again, the number of registered Republicans in the city is already pretty low to begin with.
Right.
So again, that's a race split between three people. It's not going to take a whole lot of votes to get that nomination.
And in the first, there still is a 3-1 Democratic advantage in terms of registration, but that's much smaller than citywide, which is about 10-1.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting to see. And it is interesting that the Republicans have said, you know, this is one that they really can carry. 1963, Kenny, was the last time a Republican served on the Baltimore City Council.
And it looks like some say it might still be 1963, the most recent year. Not a lot of the observers that I spoke with are convinced that a Republican can actually win the first district.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Larry Hogan to win it is one thing, but for a city council district, it's another thing.
And they note that during the last election, both Brian Frosch for Attorney General and Peter Franchot for Controller Democrats, who carried the district as well.
Right.
So they see it as a Hogan phenomenon or maybe a Brown failure and not so much as a change in the electorate.
Yeah, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, who lost that race, who's now currently running for Donna Edwards' seat in Prince George's County for Congress. Kenny, how about Robert Curran? He is not seeking re-election in the 3rd District. He cites health reasons for that. He's got opponents Marcus Dent, Ryan Dorsey, Jermaine Jones, Alicia Jones, George Van Hook, Stephen Mitchell, and Richard Rhea. How do you read that race? That's another, you know, large crop of folks looking for that seat.
Another large crop and another where one candidate doesn't necessarily speak out. Alicia Joines is definitely doing some campaigning in that district, as is Marcus Dent. But and keep in mind, this is how wide open it is. There hasn't been a current there's been a current in that seat for 2 decades. Keep that in mind. So
The name Curran isn't going to be on the ballot for the first time in a whole long time.
Right. And I haven't seen anybody really pushing one candidate over the other right now.
Eric Costello in the 11th district. That includes Bolton Hill, Luke Broadwater. How do you see that one?
Another very, very competitive race. Costello is one of these people who we were talking about has raised more than $100,000. There's about 5 or 6 of them citywide in these council races. He has been a fundraising beast, I would say. I mean, he has got the money. He's doing the flyers. He's doing the door knocking. That said, he's got a couple of really, really good challengers. Greg Cilio from Locust Point, the community association president there, is backed by Colleen Martin Lauer, who's part of the O'Malley fundraising machine. And so he should be strong in Locust Point. You have Dia Thomas, who's a very promising candidate from West Baltimore, who's actually second in fundraising to Costello, and she could definitely make a run. And then you have Mr. Johnson, who's another very smart candidate, used to work with in the Obama administration. It works with the state on transportation issues, and he's a very promising candidate. So I watched one of these forums, and I thought, all of these people are very intelligent and would probably do a great job on the council. So I think there's sort of an embarrassment of riches there.
Great. It'll be interesting to see how that district turns out, because as you and I both know, Luke, we sat in that long council meeting on when Costello was picked, and there were not a lot of people happy, particularly in the Federal Hill area. So it'll be real interesting to see how Federal Hill plays into this election.
All right. Well, we didn't get to all of them, but we got to a lot of them, and I appreciate your time and your reporting, both of you. We will keep reading and keep listening and have you back, and we'll talk some more sometime soon.
Look forward to it.
Appreciate it. Luke Broadwater covers City Hall and politics for the Baltimore Sun. P. Kenneth Burns covers the city for WYPR. This program, note, next Wednesday, we'll have the 3 top candidates for mayor with me live in Studio A for a debate. Senator Catherine Pugh, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, and businessman David Warnock are leading in the polls at the moment. They'll spend the hour discussing the issues right here on Maryland Morning. Let me remind you again that you have until next Tuesday to register to vote or to change your registration if you'd like to vote in a particular primary. Early voting starts on April 14th. The election is April 26th. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Stay with us. Coming up a little later, the fascinating story of Bessie Margolin, a groundbreaking lawyer who's the subject of a new biography. But now it's time for The Environment in Focus.